Friends, we are going to discuss in this chapter some obligation and role of ED banks. Role of ED banks and its obligation towards the export of the goods and services. Okay, for that, I have structured this chapter in such a manner that you will understand the full gamut of the export documentation and regulations relating to that. Okay, first one is a EDF, that is export documentation, export declaration form. Then what are the facilities provided to the exporters? Then write-off of unrealized export bill. Many times it so happens now. The bill is not at all getting realized. Then exporters caution list. Then issue of guarantee for by authorized dealers. Then issuance of electronic banks realization certificate, EBRC. And then issuance of electronic, then issuance of remittance collected, sorry, not issuance, but remittances connected to the export, which are required many times to send abroad. Okay. Now let us understand and discuss about each and every aspect little bit in details. Before that, the EAD bank when we refer, is an authorized dealer bank who undertakes and handles the export bill of the exporters. And as you are aware, that government has declared various incentives and several measures have been taken by the state as well as central government to increase the export. Okay? Accordingly, rules and regulations framed under the Foreign Exchange Management Act required to be changed, and that is changed by Reserve Bank of India. Reserve Bank of India is the responsible authority nominated by the Government of India, and for all the while, all import and export related transactions, RBI cannot execute, so it has to delegate that power to authorized dealer bank. And authorized dealer bank, under obligation of having granted the power by Reserve Bank of India to follow the rules and regulation framed by Reserve Bank of India as if it is followed by the Reserve Bank of India only. Okay? So, these rules and regulations we are seeing one by one. First one is EDF, Export Declaration Form. Many times it so happens, customer or exporter approaches you and he says that I don't want to file the EDF, that is export declaration form, which is required to be filed with the customs department. Why? He says, I am sending this as a sample and money will not come for the sample which I am giving it to you, but it has to be exported. Under such situation, there is a requirement, there is no requirement of filing the EDF. When money is not coming, what is the use of filing? Therefore, banks, as per the delegated authority, is permitted to submission of the waiver of submission of the EDF waiver is permitted. Okay? So, the status holder exporters, they are entitled for the export, which is freely exportable items. Okay, and articles of the gold and precious metals, they are free of cost on the basis of export promotion, subject to an annual limit as declared by the Government of India. Annual limit of 2% of average annual export realization. During the preceding 3 years, that will be calculated. Okay, then gems and jewelry sector, articles of the gold and precious metals, etc., they are permitted to waive in submission of export declaration form. This annual limit of export is 1 crore or 2% of the average annual export realization during preceding 3 licensing years. Whichever is lower for the export of the sectors like gems and jewelry sectors, articles of the gold and precious metal. So these are some of the items where there is no requirement of submission of EDF. In case of supplies of the pharmaceuticals product, vaccines, life-saving drugs, and health programs which are conducted by the United Nations or World Health Organization, that is WHO, and the government health programs, the annual limit shall be up to 8% of the average annual export realization during the preceding three licensing years for supply of the goods there where the money is not or realization will not come to the extent of 8% of previous 3 years, sorry, 2% of the previous 3 years average annual realization is calculated, and up to that extent free of charge without filing EDF they are permitted to file with the customs department. Okay, so free of cost supplies shall not entitle to the duty drawback also, and any other export incentive is also not permitted. So the export of the goods not involving any foreign exchange transaction directly or indirectly, or the commodity which is exported which doesn't have any commercial value, for that AD banks are permitted to waive submission of the EDF to customs department, and to that effect a certificate is required to be given by the AD bank to the exporter, which at the time of export of goods will be submitted to the customs department without filing EDF. Okay, now receipt of advance remittance for export. Where the exporters receive the advance payment with or without interest clause from a buyer outside country, the exporter is under obligation to export the goods within 1 year from the date of receipt of advance remittance. It is very clear, within 1 year he has to fulfill its obligation. The rate of interest, if it is stipulated, should be well below the LIBOR plus 100 basis point. Now, this LIBOR has been replaced. That is why this appropriate reference rate of the particular currency is the benchmark, and below that, the rate of interest should be quoted by the overseas party where he has sent the advance remittance for export. If it is not mentioned on the export order, then subsequently if he demands, in case of return of the advance remittance for exports, then in that case AD banks are permitted to consider the request and send the interest on advance remittance received for the period at the rate of LIBOR, not a LIBOR, but base rate, that is appropriate reference rate of that particular currency. In the event of exporter's inability to make the shipment partially or fully within 1 year from the date of receipt of the advance payment, no remittance towards refund of advance remittance can be utilized unutilized the portion of advance payment or towards the payment of interest shall be made after the expiry of the said period of 1 year, and thereafter, after 1 year, prior approval of Reserve Bank of India is required to be obtained by the exporter. ADPMS will capture the detail of inward remittance, that is advance remittance received, and the bank will have to report the inward remittance including the advance as well as the old outstanding inward remittances received for the export of the goods or softwares to under ADPMS. Banks are also allow the exporters having minimum of 3 years satisfactory track record to receive the long-term export advance. Long-term means up to 10 years. Export may not happen up to 10 years, but they can receive the advance remittance, but that is for the specified commodities which takes a longer time to manufacture or prepare. For that purpose, this facility is provided. So up to 10 years unutilized execution of the long-term supply contract for the export of the goods subject to certain conditions have been stipulated by RBI, and these conditions are: bank may allow the exporter to receive this advance payment for the export of goods which would take more than 1 year, okay, to manufacture and ship the goods, where the exporters whether the export agreement provides for the shipment of the goods extending beyond the period of 1 year from the date of receipt of advance. The KYC and due diligence exercise has to be completed from on the overseas buyer. The compliance with anti-money laundering also, that has to be complied. And the AD category bank should ensure that export advance received by the exporter should be utilized to execute the export and not for any other purpose. The transaction is a bona fide transaction. Okay, progressive payment, if any, should be received directly from the overseas buyer and strictly in terms of the contract also. The rate of interest, if any, payable on the advance payment will be appropriate reference rate. Here it is mentioned as the LIBOR, but it is not correct now. LIBOR is replaced. So appropriate reference rate, ARR, is the base rate of that currency that is applicable in this, in that case, in case rate of interest is not mentioned or mentioned. And there should be no instance of refund which exceeds 10% of advance payment. Okay, 10% of advance payment received. The document covering the shipment should be routed through the same AD bank with whom the advance remittance is received, and in the event of exporter's inability to make the shipment partly or fully, no remittance should be refunded of unutilized portion of advance payment of towards the payment of interest should be made without any prior approval of Reserve Bank of India. Bank should exercise proper due diligence. KYC AML guidelines should be followed as hitherto. Now, EDF approval. EDF approval for trade fair and exhibition abroad. There are instances where the companies or firms and other organization participating in international trade and international trade fair or exhibition abroad, that can take or export the goods exhibition or sell outside India without the prior approval of Reserve Bank of India. Unsold exhibited items may be sold outside exhibition or trade fair is concluded in the same country or in third country. Such a sales at discounted value are also permissible. It would be permissible to give a gift of unsold good up to the value of US$5,000 per exporter, per exhibition or per trade fair. That is the facility provided. If goods are not sold, then he can give as a gift. Up to its value should be not more than US$5,000 or equivalent. In such situation, AD bank can approve the EDF of the export items which are display come sale in the exhibition outside India, and conditions are the exporter shall produce the relative bill of entry within 1 month of re-import of unsold goods into India. Second one, exporter shall report to AD category 1 bank method of disposal of all items exported, how it is disposed, sold. And such a transaction which is approved by the AD category 1 bank shall be subject to 100% audit by the bank's internal auditors. Okay. Now, EDF approval for export of the goods for re-import. You export the goods on the basis of that you are getting it back, that is re-imported. So, banks are permitting such kind of, because goods, there is nothing happening to the goods. Permission is granted, money is not coming for exporting goods, because those same goods will be again re-imported back. After repair, maintenance, testing, calibration, like that, certain instruments are required to be sent, no, for that purpose. Okay, and that should be the relative bill of entry. Within 1 month, it should be submitted to the customs or AD bank when the goods are re-imported. Where the goods are being exported for the testing and destroying, testing or the destroyed during the testing, then AD category 1 bank may obtain a certificate issued by the testing agency and the goods have been destroyed during the testing in lieu of bill of entry. Right? Then, re-export of unsold rough diamond from special notified zones. Specially notified zone, that is SNZ, of customs without export declaration form and it's completing the formalities. For that, there is a regulation in order to facilitate to re-export the unsold rough diamonds imported on free of cost basis in specially notified zones, not everywhere. These unsold rough diamonds, when re-exported from the SNZ, being an area within the customs, without entering into domestic tariff area, do not require to file any export declaration form. Okay? The entry of the consignment containing the different lots of the rough diamonds into SNZ should be accompanied by the declaration of the notional value of it, that rough diamonds, by way of invoice and a packing list, which indicates that free cost nature of the consignment, and under no circumstances the entry of such rough diamonds should be permitted under domestic tariff area. Okay. Another facility to the exporter is setting up of offices abroad. Setting up of offices abroad and acquisition of immovable property for overseas offices. Many times exporter, for the reason to expand the business, opens an office abroad, that is without equity contribution, okay, and they depute there the representative to popularize their product in that country, means for the marketing purpose. For them, the remittance is required to maintain that office or salary of the person who is deputed over there. Okay, that is required to be remitted from India. Under such situation, the regulation stipulated that at a time of setting up of that office, banks can permit the exporter the initial expenses up to 15%, initial expenses I said, initial for establishing office, up to 15% of the average annual sales or average annual income or turnover during the last 2 years, during the last 2 years, 15% of these during last 2 years or 25% of the net worth, whichever is higher. Up to that amount, whatever is calculated, they are permitted to send as an initial expenses for establishing the office. Now, for the recurring expenses, month-on-month basis, remittance up to 10% of the average annual sales income or turnover during the last two financial years may be sent for the purpose of normal business operations of the office. Office may be it is trading office or non-trading branch or representative office which is outside India, subject to the condition that the overseas branch or office has been set up, a representative is posted for conducting the normal business activities of the Indian entities. Overseas branch or office representative shall not enter into any contract. And the overseas office or representative office shall not create any financial liability or any contingent liability or otherwise for the head office in India, and also not invest any surplus funds abroad without prior approval of Reserve Bank of India. Okay? The excess funds which are there should be immediately repatriated into India. And finally, the details of the bank account opened in the overseas country by the representative office or site office, that should be promptly reported to AD Bank. Another regulation in respect of delay in transmission of the shipping document by the exporter. A general rule is that even under Uniform Customs and Practice for Documentary Credit, that is UCPDC, is that in case where the exporter present the document pertaining to the export after the prescribed period of 21 days from the date of export, AD Bank should handle them without prior approval of Reserve Bank of India, provided they are satisfied with the reason which is quoted by the exporter. Within 21 days after shipment date, document should be prepared and given to the AD Bank, that is fine. But there may happens to be delay. Now, what is the reason for delay? That should be asked to the exporter by the bank. And if bank is satisfied by the explanation given by that exporter, then without referring to the Reserve Bank of India, bank can handle the document. Now, return of the document to the exporters. Return of the document means goods have shipped, documents prepared, and documents also sent, but unfortunately the document come back which was not accepted by the overseas buyer. Then in that case, duplicate copy of the EDF form and the shipping document, once it is submitted to the bank for the purpose of collection or negotiation, whatever it may be, should not be returned to the exporter except the rectification or error or resubmission of the export bill. Okay? Then, landlocked countries, the meaning I have already explained to you, but for the better understanding, I will explain here that the landlocked countries, whenever the goods are moving in goes by the road, rail, or maybe inland waterways, where the country is locked by the land, both the borders are connecting to each other. AD Bank deliver one negotiable copy of the bill of lading to the master of the carrying vessel or road representative or trade representative of the exporters to certain landlocked countries if the shipment covered by an irrevocable letter of credit and the document confirmed strictly to the terms of the letter of credit which provides for such a delivery. Now, direct dispatch of the document by the exporter. Direct dispatch. Directly sending the document to the overseas buyer. Bank should normally dispatch the document through their correspondent banks, overseas branch or correspondent bank. But many times, they may dispatch the shipping document directly to the consignee or their agents which is residing in the country of final destination of the goods. In cases where advance remittance is received, letter of credit has been issued, and that facility is provided for the direct dispatch to the directly to the overseas buyer. And bank also should accept the request of the exporter, provided that exporter is a regular client or customer of that bank and is satisfied on the basis of standing and track record of the exporter, and the arrangement have been made in realization of the export bids. Banks are also permitted to permit the status holder exporters and the units which are located in SEZ to dispatch the export document to the consignees outside India, subject to terms and conditions that, number one, the export proceeds are repatriated through the AD bank, which is whose name is appearing in export declaration form. The duplicate copy of ED is submitted to the AD bank within 21 days from the date of shipment of the goods. And banks are regularized the cases of dispatch of the shipping document by the exporter direct, by the dispatch direct to the goods, irrespective of the value of the export of shipment, subject to the condition that the export proceeds have been realized in full, then the exporter is a regular client, the exporter's account with AD bank is fully KYC compliant and AML as per the AML guidelines, bank is satisfied about bona fide of transaction, and in case of doubt, bank may consider to report the transaction under STR, that is suspicious transaction reports, to FIUIND, that is finance unit in India, to investigate, but should not stop the transaction, it's only report. Okay, now part drawing and undrawn balances. What is meant by part drawing and undrawn balances? In certain line of export trade, right, it is practice to leave a small part of the invoice value undrawn, that is not paid, for the payment after adjustment of the due differences in the weight, quality. There may be change in weight, you know. So, to be ascertained after arrival and inspection of the weighment of the analysis of the goods. In such a cases, banks may negotiate the bill, provided the amount of undrawn balance is considered as a normal practice in particular line of export trade, which is subject to maximum of 10% of the full export value. Okay, so undrawn part drawing or undrawn balance can be kept up to maximum of 10%. 90% should be realized. And undertaking to that effect is required to be obtained from the exporter in that on the duplicate EDF form that he will surrender the account for the balance proceeds of the shipment within a period of prescribed for the realization, in case if no export value, this 10% is realized. Okay. Now coming down to understand what is the consignment exports. Consignment export. Consignment means when the goods have been exported on the consignment basis, the bank will forward the shipping document to his overseas branch or its correspondent branch, okay, correspondent bank, and instruct them to deliver against the trust receipt and obtain the undertaking to deliver the sale proceeds within that specified date prescribed for the realization, that is 9 months from the date of realization, from the date of shipment. That is called consignment import. This consignment export procedure required to be followed even if, according to the practice in certain trades, a bill for a part of the estimated value is drawn in advance against the export. Agents, consignees that may deduct from the proceeds of the goods the expenses, monthly expenses, maybe normally the incurred towards storage, rent for the godown, storage charges, landing expenses, warehouse rent, handling charges, then light, electricity, maintenance of that, or the person or is deputed there as a security, the security charges and all other things required to be deducted from the proceeds, and the vouchers relating to that deduction is required to be sent to the exporter, and at the time of sending, balance amount will be remitted by the bank, and by that time the agent should send these original vouchers or bills to the exporter so as to submit it along with the remittance received receipt to the AD bank so as to appropriate in AD PMS for closure of shipping bill which is outstanding. Okay, now opening and hiring of the warehouse abroad. This opening and hiring the warehouse abroad is generally permitted, okay, with certain conditions which is required to be fulfilled by the exporter. Now, for that purpose, giving permission by the AD bank, exporter's outstanding should not exceed, export bills should not exceed 5% of the export which is made during the previous financial year. Then, applicant has minimum export turnover of $100,000 or equivalent during last financial year. And third, the period of realization should be as per the applicable period, that is 9 months. This permission can be granted to the exporter by AD bank initially for 2 years, initially for the period of 1 year, and thereafter it can be renewed subsequently. It can be renewed subsequently considering certain satisfying requirement which is complied by the exporter. Granting such provision or permission or approval should be maintained a proper record by the bank for the inspection or audit by the bank's internal auditor as well as RBI auditors. Thank you very much.